missionaries that we support who are out on the field. We support some 70 different missionaries that are on the field. And without us supporting them or being a part of that support, they can't do what God's called them to do. So your gifts to missions helps us keep them on the field. And then God's time. Listen, God's time belongs to Him. And we don't rob that. We don't take away from it. We just ask God to use us and be faithful to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, are you ready to get into the Word? All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Chapter 2. Last week I started this message series for the book of Habakkuk. It's only three chapters, so next week we'll wrap it up with chapter 3. Habakkuk was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. His name means to embrace. And to embrace. And we believe in this time, Habakkuk is having to embrace God, to hold on to God because things aren't seeming to go the way he would like them to go. Let's do a quick review from last week. God told the prophet Habakkuk, basically, I have to tell you to tell your people that we're going to destroy. This is the Judah, and that they have to be destroyed because they've been wicked. And God said, I'm going to do it by using the Babylonians who are more wicked and more violent than you are. And Habakkuk just kind of like, I don't feel like this is fair, God. Why are you using more wicked people to punish us? But Habakkuk's in this tough place. He doesn't feel like God's responding like he thinks he ought to. So in fact, we're going to look at a question today for us is this. What do you do while you are in the valley? Anybody ever been in valleys in your life? Well, listen, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. For why? God is with you. Don't ever forget that. Valleys for our lives can happen when we don't feel like prayer got answered. Anybody ever been there? I called upon the Lord. Or maybe you're going through a tough situation or circumstance in your life, and it just feels like a dark, shadowy place. Anybody ever been there? Balcony, anybody up there? Two of you, three of you, now there's more. For all of us to really grow, you need to know we need valley moments in our lives to really appreciate what it looks like from the mountaintop. How many have ever been on a mountaintop? How easy is it to slip off the mountain and be in the back of the valley, though? Now, for us who are longing to be disciples of Jesus, longing to say, God, grow me with your word, wanting to put in the disciplines of God's word into our life, we have to let the word of God guide and guard our lives. Amen? That's why we love scriptures like this. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy. I mentioned this last week. How many want joy in your life? Here it is, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, hallelujah, it's a joy to know that the valleys will come because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Church, we want to be people who persevere. So what are we going to do? We will let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many want to be mature in Christ? What about the rest of you? Church, we ought to desire to grow. If we're not desiring to grow, then you're going to be like the Bible talks about, those who just stay on the milk and never get to the meat. So I want us to grow. Church, the believer who continues to embrace God in the valley might go through things that you seem, you know, like they're not going like I want. But I want you to know that person gets closer to God. In fact, you may have seen people that you feel like, man, they're close to God. You have no idea what they've been through. And how God has proved himself faithful and faithful again and again. So the question is, what do you do while you are in the valley? So again, we're going to look at the book of Habakkuk and let it speak to us about some things we can do while we're in the valley. In fact, it's going to be three things that come from the first three verses of Habakkuk chapter 2. Here's what Habakkuk was saying. Of course, this is right after he heard the news that we're going to be destroyed and the Babylonians are going to be used. So Habakkuk's like, okay, then here's my plan. Verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. Ramparts, I have a picture for you because people are like, what is a rampart? The rampart is the defensive placement on the top of a wall or a castled city, if you know what I'm talking about. And this is actually in Jerusalem. This is the rampart that you stand between for protection, but you can see what's going on. And Habakkuk goes on and says, so I can watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Verse 2, the Lord speaks up. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God is saying it will happen, it will take place, it's for an appointed time, but no, it will happen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we receive as the Holy Spirit wants to speak to our hearts about it. Lord, that it will teach us and train us in righteousness. And Lord, that you can be glorified as we live it out with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do you do when you're in a valley? What do you do when you're in those seasons of life that things aren't going the way you think they should be going? What do you do when you're struggling with how you feel that God is moving among things? And you feel like, well, God, you could do something, but he's not acting the way you think it should happen. Maybe you feel God's not being fair. Life does not make sense to you. Or you're wondering, God, where are you and what are you doing? I wanted you to see three things that we can learn from Habakkuk chapter 2 today. Three things we can do while we're in the valley. Number one, the first thing we need to do is stop and listen. Everybody say that. Stop and listen. One more time. Stop and listen. Sometimes we just need to stop, pause, and then listen for God. In fact, if you look at what Habakkuk did, basically he said, God, I don't like this. I'm complaining to you. And just as a reminder from last week, do you know God can handle your complaints? He's big enough. It's okay to cry out to him. He can handle it because God understands how little we are, right? Verse 1 again. Listen to what Habakkuk does. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. In other words, I'm going to climb up on the wall, I'm going to station myself, and I'm going to stop everything else, and I'm going to look to see what God is doing. And that's what the back also says, and watch to see what he will say to me. Too often what we do is we just continue to whine and complain and never give God time to speak. We never stop long enough to really hear the voice of the Lord and enough time to see what he's doing. In fact, I like what Habakkuk said in the last part of this verse. He says, and what I will answer when I am corrected. In other words, I want to hear what God has to say, and I'm sure that I do not understand it all. I need to hear God because he's going to correct my thinking about it. And I hope I'll be humble enough to hear what he has to say and then have the right response and answer back to him. Church, did you know there's something exceptional and remarkable about the God we serve? And it's this. God is a relational God who loves to speak to his children. God wants you to hear his voice. God speaks, and if we will stop long enough, tune our ear in, we could hear God. How does he speak? Well, I believe he speaks in all sorts of ways. I believe God can speak audibly. You say, really? He did to Paul on the road to Damascus. That was after his resurrection. I believe others have said, I've heard God. And I've never heard him audibly that I can say, but I know that he can speak that clearly to people. God also speaks through his written word, through the Bible, what we read. In fact, every single day, if you'll get into his word, he will speak to you through it. And if you open it and take time and take time and take time to hear what the Lord is saying. I also believe that God can speak through circumstances and situations. Sometimes He uses others to speak into our lives. Church, there's a lot of ways that God can speak into our lives. But here's the deal. If we'll learn to listen to God when He does speak to us, your life will be changed, even though you may not like what He has to say. What is it when He tells you, don't be angry? Anybody ever read that in the Bible? Put away anger and malice and lying. Anybody? Do you like that? Not really. Because you're like, I like to feel that way. I like to do those things. Because I like revenge. No. The Bible says, put them away. And where do we begin to say, I'm going to hear what the Lord says and put it into action? Don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Listen, Habakkuk didn't enjoy everything he was hearing from God. And sometimes you need to understand this. When God does speak, you'll know exactly where God stands. Church, I'm struggling. I talked to a family this morning that's struggling with where churches are today, and what they're allowing and what they're saying is okay, which the Bible calls sin. And church, we need to stand up and know where we live today, where does God stand on this? What does the Word of God have to say? Not as what is my opinion, not as what I think is relevant, what does God say? That's where we have to live. The Apostle Paul had to learn this. How many remember the time Paul called out to God because he had a thorn in his flesh? The Bible calls it that. Paul prayed again and again. It said, God, I know you can do something about it. Take it away. Get it out of my life. And Paul, the Bible tells us, three times he pleaded with the Lord. And God did finally answer Paul. And basically, this is what he said. I could, but I've decided not to. So my answer is no. But he goes on and says, because I'm going to leave it there in your life, and I'm going to teach you that my grace is all you need. Listen to it from Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. Three times he said, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. You can later read before it. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now listen to this. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. How many want to be like Paul here? I delight in what? In. That sounds exciting. He says, I delight in these things, for when I am weak, then I am strong. God's grace is enough to carry me, even though I don't understand why. Sometimes, church, you need to understand the valley is the very thing that will keep you strong. Sometimes those things there, because otherwise we quit relying on God. Sometimes we got to stop and listen long enough to hear God and respond no matter what the answer might be. Amen? First thing we do is we stop and listen. Secondly, what we need to do in the valley is write it down. You write down what God shows you or tells you. Habakkuk is saying, God, where are you? What's going on? And God says, you want to know? Then take some notes. Verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, help me out. Everybody read this next part with me. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Now, why does God want us to write it down? Well, he was saying to Habakkuk, listen, years later, when I proved myself just and true, I want it in writing so everyone will know that I am a God of my word. When God speaks to us today, you need to know it could be for your benefit to write it down. so you can remember what he's told you. How many of you journal? There's some journalers in here. I think journaling is great. I'm not a journaler. How do you say a journaler-y? I do not journal. That's how you say it. But God puts those things in our hearts so that he reminds us that he's faithful to his word. Let me explain it this way. Husbands, if you're like me and your wife sends you to the grocery store to pick up two items, all you have to remember is two items. But I'm telling you, something happens on the way to the store, or for me, many times in the store when I'm going by Little Debbie's. My wife knows. I know exactly where that place is in almost every store. I don't know what it is, but I struggle to keep two things in my mind. Anybody there? So I'm like, sweetheart, text them to me. Write them down. Put them somewhere so I won't forget them. And that's what happens. Women, how many got to the store and you forgot something that you didn't write down? You're like, I don't remember what it was. I should have wrote it. It happens to all of us. So church, if God is speaking to us, God Almighty, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, he speaks to us, wouldn't you think it's important enough to make a record of it? Write it down. I think it would be significant and essential for us to remember. We have a spiritual enemy, remember? The devil, who would love to steal the seeds of God's word that he wants God, that God has planted in us. I want you to remember the story of the farmer and the sower who went out to sow that Jesus talked about. And Jesus explains the parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, this part of it. He says, the sower sows the word. He said, that's what's happening. The sower goes out, sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Church, it's important for us to not be people who are just along the path of church. We need to have the good soil within us so that when the word of God comes, it has a healthy place to find itself so that I hide God's word in my heart so I do not sin against him. But that takes good soil. Otherwise, the enemy will come and snatch that word away. That's why you write it on the tablet of your heart, saying, God, I'm going to remember this. And you write it down. Sometimes during worship, I've had to pick up my book here and write something down or that God's reminding me of or telling me or even other thoughts. I'm writing it down because I need to remember it. And so when I write it down, things like that can also become a spiritual anchor to your life. This is my Bible way back from Bible college. And it's a mess today, but I've kept it. Because in the back and on the pages of it, I just wrote, I went to Bible college and all of a sudden I've got all these different speakers beginning to speak. I mean, I grew up in church, I heard the word of God, but all of a sudden they're saying it a little bit different or something that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And so I would pin it down and write it and remind myself of it. And it's one was prepare as if everything is upon you, but pray as if everything is upon God. That spoke to my heart. So I wrote it down, and so I could come back to those things and remember them and let them speak to my heart again. Today, I don't journal, but what I do is I take notes on my phone. I don't know how many of you have notes or something like that, but I was reading out of Nehemiah 6, and the Lord just spoke to me, and this is what I wrote. It's not all of it, but a portion of it. And he's talking about, I wrote, a gap left in the wall. Rebuilds the wall that was broken down. Just like our lives are wrecked by sin, God rebuilds the wall so there's not a gap in it. God wants to remove those, but still had to set the gates. So Nehemiah's building the walls, but the gates have not been set yet. And then I wrote that. We need to build our lives to a place that we are wanting the house or wanting to house the presence of God. That's what I want. But we have to set the gates of what we're going to allow into where the presence of God is supposed to be. Haven't preached this one yet. But I'm like, what are you going to allow? What gates are you setting in your life? And God just speaking to me, and I don't want to forget that. I don't want gaps in my life that I'm leaking, but I want to be full of the presence of God. I want to live for Him. I want to declare Him and live like an example. So write it down. If God speaks, write it down so you don't forget it. So number one, stop and listen. Second, what? And number three, you're going to love this one, wait on the Lord. How many of you know waiting can be an awkward moment? How many have ever waited at Secretary of State? That should be every hand in the place who's ever been there. They need to learn something from Chick-fil-A. The problem is we like instant return. We like instant gratification. As a whole, we don't like to wait. We wait in checkout lines. We wait now to get fast food. Chick-fil-A again. How many have been to the one in Novi? You waited? Yeah, you did for Christian chicken, but it was worth it. Church, we need to learn to wait more. In all honesty, most of the time, God does not work in your timing or my timing. Isaiah wrote it this way as God spoke to him and he wrote it down so we could remind ourselves of it. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He goes on and says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is working his plan and his time and his way. Again, verse 3, I want you to read it with me. Ready? All of us together, verse 3. Can you get it up there for me? Thank you. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Say that again. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, what? Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Church, when God promises something, you may have to wait a while, but you can take the promise to the bank. Some of you right now might be in some waiting zone. God's spoken, you've written it down, but you're waiting. While waiting, I want you to remember this. It's a quote from Robert Schuller as he says this, God's delays are not God's denials. Sometimes we're just like, God, I just don't feel like you're coming through. He isn't denying, he's just delaying for the appointed time. When God promises something, it will come to pass. In fact, you can go through Scripture, and example after example of God's faithfulness is there. Do you remember Moses? He told Moses, I'm going to deliver God's people. I'm going to deliver Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, and I'm going to take them to a promised land. And then Moses has to go through the plagues and all of that. Then finally the people are released from Egypt only to go through 40 years journey in the desert. And Moses does not even get to enter the promised land. But the people did. Exactly what God promised happened. Remember the story of Joseph, the coat of many colors I referred to last week? God tells Joseph in a vision, you're going to be great. You're going to be a great leader. And what happens? His brothers beat him up. They throw him into a pit. They sell him into slavery. Out of slavery, he ends up in prison. And it's at age 30, he finally is in the position of leadership. Everything God has is not fulfilled yet, but that was the beginning at age 30 for this young man. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who wrote more than half of our New Testament, he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Remember it? Paul is transformed. transformed. I mean, he is changed. And he says, I am called to preach. In fact, the Lord spoke to him and called him to preach the gospel. But did you know it took 13 years before he got to preach with the approval of the apostles? 13 years. God transformed me. Sometimes you have to wait. And then Barnabas said, hey, Paul, come go with me. And then they anointed them and sent them out. Why? It was for an appointed time, because God was working things in Paul. What does a waiter do? A waiter serves, don't they? That's what you're going to have to learn to do. While you wait, you are a server. It's kind of like a woman who is pregnant. She is going to wait. How long? 9 months. And during that waiting time, what is she doing? Did you know she's serving that baby? She is nourishing that baby. And when the day comes and the fulfillment of those 9 months come and that new little one comes into the world, I want you to listen carefully to what takes place. That waiting brings to completion what God started in the womb. God started. It says God formed us in the womb. That's what the Word of God tells me. God starts something, but there is an appointed time. And there's times we just need to learn to wait. Like Habakkuk wrote, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. When it's God's time, it will be God's time. And there's nothing you can do to speed it up. There's nothing you can do to slow it down. Why? Because it's God's time. You want to know how long Habakkuk had to wait for this to be fulfilled? It was about 15 years before the promise that God told him would be fulfilled. It was in 597 B.C. when the Babylonians took Judah into captivity and did so for 70 years. Church, even though it may not happen in your time, in your lifetime, you need to go know that God's promises will be fulfilled because God is absolutely true to His Word. I'm telling you, the Bible, and God has already told us, Jesus is coming again. I don't know if church believes that. That's one of our doctrines. Jesus is coming again, church. God said it will happen, so what do you think is going to happen? It's going to happen. And then if you'll keep reading, though, and all those prophetic thoughts, like, you know what, it's got to get like it was in the days of Noah, where they're thinking evil only. It also warns the church, be careful lest you be deceived. Church, I believe we are approaching those days. I'm not saying it's happening tomorrow, but it could. So church, he said it. I don't know when the appointed time, but I believe it, and I'm waiting for it, and I'm going to keep serving him and loving him all the time, because what else am I going to do? Listen to the world? In the rest of Habakkuk chapter 2, God basically is writing and says, those who do evil, they're going to get their just punishment. In fact, through verse 6 to 19, God issues 5 woes to Babylon for what they're about to do. He prophesies against them. And in fact, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 12 says, what sorrow awaits you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption? Has the Lord of heaven's armies promised that the wealth of nations will turn to ashes? They work so hard, but all in vain. And could I tell you, that's the same today. Your money does not get you to heaven. Your money does not save you. In fact, if you haven't gotten the message yet, everybody who clamors for more money only clamors for more money. It does not satisfy. Pastor James, would you come? Before we wrap up today, I need to look at one other verse. Verse 4. It's a key verse in the book of Habakkuk chapter 12. And it says this, behold the proud, His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Here's what God says. You see Babylon? They're full of pride. They're puffed up. Behold the proud. His soul is not right, upright in him. But God continues to speak to Habakkuk and says, but the just, you Habakkuk, the righteous, shall live by his faith. Those who are justified, those who are righteous, those who are mine, God says, they're going to live not by what they see, not by what's going on around them, but instead the righteous are going to live by the faith that they have put in me. Why? Because I'm true to my word and I'll fulfill it. And I need to remind you, church, when everyone else around tells you, forsake God, forget the church, God's not going to come through for you. By the way, God's not really coming back. He can't save you. You need to remember you are the righteous. You have put your faith in God and his word. So we need to continue to live by faith. Aren't you glad? How many of you got saved by works? Don't raise your hand. That's not a trick question. But how many of you got saved by faith? Continue by faith. That's how we live. In fact, let me take you to Hebrews 11 and remind you of a few things. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. I do not care what science comes up with. I do not care what man has claimed. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. God made it. God formed it. He spoke it into existence. And how do I know? By faith. I'm going to put my faith in what God says. Hebrews 11:7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. We forget about that story, but we need to be parents of faith again. Say, listen, God, watch over my children. God, I keep praying for my children. I keep praying for my family. I trust you that your word and what was put in there will not be void, but it will bring life to them. Church, that's God's word, and we trust him. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but I can only imagine day 7, Joshua says, by the way, today we're going to go around 7 times. They'd all gone around 1 time each of the other days. I don't know what happened on lap 1. It was like lap 2. I'm already tired. We hadn't practiced. We should have been doing lap 2 on day 2 and lap 3 building up to this. Any marathoners in here, you know you got to build up to it. Lap 3, lap 4, lap 5. I don't see anything happening, Joshua. But you know what? Israel trusted the Lord this time. And they did lap 6 and then lap 7. And something began to shake. And the walls of Jericho crashed down. Church, if God says it, it's going to happen. Why don't you go read chapter 11 of Hebrews? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Because there's other statements like, there were those by faith that were sawed in half. Does it sound good? But church, we have to be willing to give it all up for Jesus. I'm not living for this world. I'm living for the King of my heart. I want you to hear the very last verse, though, of Habakkuk 2. Verse 20. Remember Habakkuk said, you're going to correct me And I hope I could answer right. Well, here's his answer. After hearing everything the Lord said, Habakkuk said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. So let all the earth keep silent before him. You think you're wise, you have nothing to say. The Lord is in his temple. The Lord, Habakkuk's thinking, I don't understand it. I don't even like it. I don't like what's going to happen. But the Lord is in his temple. The Lord is still in charge. The Lord is on his throne. So church, what are we going to do when those valleys come in our life? When those dips way down happen, what are we going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to stop and listen to God first. God, what are you saying? Where are you? Because you know what? I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I know you're for me and not against me. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen to you. And by the way, I heard it. I'm going to write it down. Why? Because you told me there's light at the end of the tunnel. I believe it. And you know what? Until I see it, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to keep serving the Lord and loving the Lord and doing what he's called me to do. Why? Because I know you're in your holy temple. In fact, next week, chapter 3, it's a song. The whole chapter is a song. Because Habakkuk has to get back to the place where it's not about me, it's about him. It's not about me, it's about him. I will serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. And it's learning those things in our life and then putting them into practice. Before I close, maybe there's somebody here today who's not accepted Jesus as your Savior. I want you to know you can start your faith journey right now. If you've not said, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins. The Bible puts it this way, that you believe in your heart that he died and rose again and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. It's that simple. That's faith. That what God said way back in the garden when he said, I'm going to crush Satan under your feet. And know what? He accomplished it when Jesus died on the cross for us. And that by us putting our faith in what Jesus did, we're saved. If that's you today, and you need to accept that, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. But then beyond that prayer, I'm going to ask you, you got to tell somebody. Let somebody know, because the joy of the Lord is going to fill your life, and you're going to begin to walk a new life with him, because he fills you with his Holy Spirit when you get saved. And then he wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to walk in your life, and so every gap is filled up. Amen? Would you pray this with me? If you want to accept Christ this morning, in fact, I'm going to ask the whole church, would you just pray it, maybe rededicate your life today? Would you say, Heavenly Father, would you save me from my sins? By faith, I believe Jesus died for me. And by faith, I believe you rose from the dead. And by faith, I ask you to be Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your faithfulness. Bless you to stand. I just want us to sing this song one more time that we sang at the end this morning. And just make this declaration to Jesus that you love him. And when you're telling him you love him, when I tell my wife I love her, I'm saying I'm committed to you. That's what I'm saying. When I tell you I love you, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to walk this God life together. But when we tell Jesus that, would you tell him, I'm committed to you, and I adore you, and I cherish you, and I honor you in my heart and my life? So would you lift these simple words and do it as a prayer to Jesus today and to God and say,
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you.
the one.
You are the one.
Trust your word. And Lord, if there's those in a valley today, I ask you to speak clearly to them. Lord, it may not be what they want to hear, but it's about your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray as we wait, Lord, that you will encourage your church, strengthen your church, grow your church, to be everything you want her to be. A beautiful bride waiting the groom. So Lord Jesus, come quickly. As you have promised, the Spirit and the bride say come. But Lord, for the moments we have, may we use them properly to honor you, telling others about you and declaring your love for every soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.